Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. Now, in this passage, you want to keep in mind a phrase that is used throughout the passage. One. In this case, we'll say one in Christ. One in Christ. Now, listen to the passage as we read John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, several times throughout this prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions that he wants believers in Jesus Christ to be one, even as Jesus Christ and the Father are one. So this lesson today wraps up the study on Jesus' prayer, the prayer that he prayed to his Father. In this portion of his prayer, he prays for all the believers in Christ to be one. And, you know, honestly, if you were going to try to see that come to pass today, you would have to join the ecumenical movement. The ecumenical movement is made up of people who profess the name of Jesus Christ, but many of whom may not really be saved. They are professing Christians. That is, they have the profession of somebody who is saved, but their salvation is dependent upon works or something that is peculiar to the doctrine of their church. Now, today, if you wanted us to be one, you would have a lot of difficulty, or it'd be impossible. Let's put it that way, impossible. For those who are professing Christians to be one today because of the doctrinal differences and also because of the doctrinal error that exists. You know, even in Paul's day, shortly after the Lord got started, he said, you know something, fellas? He said, you're going to have trouble. He was speaking to the elders at Ephesus, and he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, he said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now this would happen, Paul said, after his departing. I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So you've got lost people that are involved as professing Christians. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Well, if you've got that kind of attitude prevalent in Paul's day, imagine what you have in our day. And if you have a wolf in sheep's clothing, not sparing the flock, or you have men that are drawing disciples away after themselves and not after the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it's going to be impossible to be one with them, one in that situation. Look in Romans chapter 16. Paul told you how to regard this thing. He said in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's what he said, avoid them. Now, when you get a situation like that, Jesus says, I want them to be one as we are, but then you also have doctrines and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and you're told to mark and avoid those people. You see how impossible it is to actually be one? But now it still is a valid prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said to Timothy, you know, emphasizing that there were some that would not heed the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said these guys would be filled with pride and perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And then Paul said, from such withdraw thyself. In one place he said to rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So, truthfully, when Christians simply stick to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and straight Bible doctrine, then you know something, you find this element of people being one together. Oftentimes you'll find this in a local church, and the people will be one together. But when Jesus prayed this, obviously he wanted all of the Christians to be one, even as God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are. And on an individual basis, we are certainly that way. On a group basis, it is amazing what happens when Christians are together on the same page, saved, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and straight on their Bible doctrine. Now, before we venture in, let me just say this one thing. When I say straight on the Bible doctrine, you understand, you've heard me say before, that Bible doctrine is Bible doctrine. In other words, all of the doctrine of the Bible is what the Bible says, it's what it teaches. And all of the Bible doctrine is the same no matter what part of the world you're in and no matter, you know, what you believe. The doctrine doesn't change. You say, what are you talking about? I said, well, okay, let's say that the Bible doctrine is salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, 7 and 8, 8 and 9, right in there. Now, what is that? For by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, simple salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the absence of works. All right, now you have another guy that professes to believe in Jesus Christ, but he says you need to work in order to earn the merit to receive eternal life when you die. Another fellow says, if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. Now, each of those will look to the Scriptures to come up with the proof that his doctrine is right. But I'm going to tell you something, all three of those guys have a different doctrine. One says it's simply by faith in Jesus Christ. One says it's with works. The other says it requires water baptism. Those three guys cannot all be right. The Bible doctrine is the Bible doctrine, and if you can't figure out from the teaching of the Holy Spirit which one of those things is right, and you wait to find out when eternity ends, if you depended upon your water baptism to get saved and never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and water baptism doesn't save you, wind up in hell. If you depended upon your works to save you, and yet it was by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you came to present your works of righteousness before the Lord, he would say, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And he'd quote you Titus 3:5, and then end up in hell. See, there's an eternal significance to making sure that you have your Bible doctrine right, particularly as it concerns something like salvation. So doctrine is doctrine, and it never changes no matter what anybody's interpretation is. The Bible is not subject to private interpretation, for no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. It is what it is. It says what it says, and it's up to us to yield to the Holy Spirit so he can show us what it says. It is not up to us to prove that the church we were raised in is right based upon what we found in the Bible, or the one we chose to attend is right based upon how we can make the Bible fit the particular doctrine that we hold. See, there's major differences in doctrines. And because of that, it's very difficult for people to be one. But if a person gets saved and has fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if He submits himself to straight Bible doctrine. That is what it says and not what he's trying to prove. Do you know what? Whenever he finds somebody that's like-minded, they're going to be one. And when they are, it is an amazing thing that happens when those guys are together. And I'll show you why. I'll show you why based upon the text here. Now, first things we want to look at, first things first, is we want to see what Jesus prayed for in verse 20 and how he makes this happen. That's what we want to see. There's four things that he does. He puts us in himself. He gives us his glory. He makes us present with him. And he gives us his love. That's how he makes us one in him. We'll study those out. Then, once he does that, once he makes us one in him by putting us in him, by giving us his glory, by making us present with him, by giving us his love, then the result is we are perfect in one. That's an amazing thing. And then secondly, the world believes on Jesus Christ as a result of what they see in us. And then the world knows that the Father loves us. And we know it. And those are major, major important things. So we want to study that out today. Because you know something? The devil is very subtle. And by introducing a lot of false doctrine, and we've got tons of it today, into professing Christianity, the devil has effectively split up the body of Christ into unrecognizable splinters. And in doing that, he has destroyed the perfection of the body of Christ. I mean, when I talked about that, I don't mean perfectly sinless, but perfect in the sense that Job was perfect and upright in his day, in the sense that Noah was perfect, the perfect man for the day. The body of Christ should be the perfect man for the day. But we're not. We're a messed up, splintered up group. And consequently, the world makes fun of churches and Christians, and we've lost our power as a church. Now, individually, you can still have a lot of power, but as a church, as the body of Christ, we've lost a lot of power. And therefore, the people getting saved are diminishing. The effectiveness of the church in society, in, you know, in your state or in your city or whatever, it's not having the effect. The pornography is on the rampage, alcoholism, drugs on the rampage, illicit sex on the rampage. The church is not having its effect, and Christians now are trying to mount up support for moral change through government and politics rather than through the Holy Spirit and prayer and Bible preaching and teaching, see? So the church is losing and mostly has lost its effectiveness to cause the world to believe in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the world hates the name of Jesus Christ, always has, but particularly spurns it today, and the church has lost lots and lots of ground. And furthermore, the church doesn't recognize the love of the Father in us. We're so splintered up that he said, you know, when you say, yeah, God loves you, but they see that it's not even demonstrated within the body of Christ, it is a mess. It is a mess. And so when we go back to see what Jesus prayed for, he prayed for something that you really don't see today. Not very much of it. Now, what Jesus prayed for is that we would be one in him, one in the Father. And the way he did this, the way he would accomplish this is this way. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. See that? Now, how was the Father one in Christ? Well, when Christ was here, actually he was God manifest in the flesh. But he would say things like this in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. He'd say this, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. See that? He was in heaven at the same time that he said he was here in the earth. He came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Here's another one. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Well, actually, Jesus was here on the earth preaching, and yet at the same time, John said he was in the bosom of the Father simultaneously. Now, Jesus Christ came to this earth, he died, and he arose, and he went to heaven. But you know something? When he died, he did not leave us comfortless, and he gave us the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes into us at salvation, He baptizes us into the body of Christ. Look, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There you see that one now? One Spirit. We're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free. We've all been made to drink of that one Spirit. And then he says, but the body is not one member, but many. It's one body, but many members. And then he runs down there and he shows you eyes, ears, hands, feet, and all that other kind of stuff. So one of the ways that God Almighty answered the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ is that individually, when we get saved, he put us into the body of Christ. Therefore, as Christians, we have, in Ephesians chapter 4, some remarkable things. We have, as Christians, individually, one body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So this thing about being one with the Father, one with the Lord Jesus Christ, by God the Father being in us, and Jesus Christ being in us, and us being in them, accomplishes a remarkable thing, something obviously that the world cannot do, because the world is not comprised of people that are in one body. They're just a bunch of loose individuals. Once you get saved, you're in that body. So one of the ways that God answered the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ by his specific request is that we would be as they were, one in each other. The second thing that the Lord Jesus Christ does is he gives us his glory. And that's found here in verse 22. He says to his Father, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So he gives us his glory when we get saved. That's what he told the Father. He said, you gave me a glory, and I've given them glory. Now that may be a little bit peculiar sounding to you, but truthfully, don't you like Romans 8:28? I love that verse. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then he defines some things, and he says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? See that right there? Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we know that when we die and pass from this body, our soul and spirit will go to be with the Lord, those of us who are saved. Our body will go into the grave and await the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. So shall we ever meet the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what do you got there? You've got a situation where when those bodies come out of the grave at the rapture, glorified, those bodies will never experience pain, death, sorrow, tears, none of that stuff. God's going to fix that thing so that those bodies will never die, never sorrow, never suffer, never have any problem again. Today, we live in flesh that has trouble. But you know something? Our soul and our spirit have his glory. He said, when you do your work, in Matthew 5, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ gave us his glory, and with that came the ability to do things that we cannot do. There are many things that we cannot do. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And when they see those things that take place in our lives, if we are one with the Lord in Bible and one with the Lord in fellowship, they bring glory to God because they recognize the glory of God in us. Now, another thing he does, he makes us present with him. Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, we're going to get that. We're going to get to go up there, and we're going to behold his glory, and we're going to bow down there with the elders, and we're going to bow down there with the all the angelic host and everything going on. That's going to be a tremendous thing there. And the beasts that are bowing down, we're going to be there with them. We're going to be in there. We're going to see all that. But you know something? He said, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. We're with him right now. You're present with the Lord right now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're one with him already in that we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I know you and I are having to duke it out down here in the world right now with the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we are constantly present with the Lord and have already overcome the world and have already overcome the wicked as a result of what Jesus Christ prayed and what Jesus and what God the Father did. So we're one in the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's put us in him, because he's given us his glory, because he makes us present with him, and also because he gives us his love. In verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. So this thing about being put, boy, I'll tell you what, then the same kind of love that God the Father had for the Lord Jesus Christ is the same kind of love that God the Father has for us. And likewise, the type of love that Jesus Christ had for his Father is exactly the same kind of love that we should have for him as well, particularly if we're one. Now, if you're out of kilter with God, which Christians get into, and if you're out of kilter with Christians so that they don't see that we are one in Christ, then they don't understand how we say we can be one body, and yet what we are is we're a finger over here and an eye over there and an ear over there and a hair over there and a heel over there and a toe over there, and nobody's together. It's a disjointed mess. It looks just like the potato man when he's all broken down in pieces before he's ever put together. The church looks like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and busted into a bunch of pieces. They don't see that getting saved puts us into something that draws us together in God the Father. They don't see anything where the glory of God shines through. They don't see the love of God in us because you don't see it between Christians. They don't see our presence with the Lord because they don't see the Lord in us. And Paul, and when Jesus prayed, he said, God, I want them to do all this for a reason. And the reason is found in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now, you know, that is the objective of the body of Christ, is to come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we should be a whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That's all found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. We are perfected in that. And that I'll tell you what, honestly, if the world would see that, that would have a drastic effect on the world. Somebody said, you believe what you, I do, man, I sincerely believe what I believe and hold to those doctrines very, very, very tightly. But I'll tell you, I get on the same page with a man who is in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and who is under the authority of a King James Bible, the words of God. Then if he has some peculiarity that's different than mine or a conviction that's different than mine, it doesn't bother me in the least. I extend God's grace to that man, God's love to that man. I love him in the Lord and could work with him to get things done because we have a common interest in the two main things that Jesus Christ was talking about right here. And boy, I'll tell you what, then you can get more done when you work together. A twofold cord is not easily broken or not quickly broken. But you know what else we have? When we demonstrate that we are one with the Father and one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God is in us and the glory of God is in us, and we're perfect in the fullness of the stature of Christ, that has an effect on the world. Calls them to believe in Jesus. Look at verse 22. The glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, is what verse 22 says. Verse 21 says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Whoa. Now, you know, I had somebody remark to me just this morning, and she said, you know, when I started coming to your church and started to grow, I realized there was a love of the Lord Jesus Christ there. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm giving you a demonstration on this. And I realized then if I would wait patiently for the Lord, with the Lord, and walk in His truth, that the things that I desired in my spiritual growth would come to pass in time. And she was calling to say, and those things have begun to come to pass, and they are coming to pass. What is it? You make a believer out of young Christians. You make a believer out of the world that Jesus Christ, in fact, did come from God when they see God's oneness, God's attributes in us because we are one in the Lord. And not only that, but the world would know the Father loves us in a unique way. Look at verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, that's like verse 21, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God said, I want the world to know I have a special place in my heart in love for my children that are at one with me. So when the world wants to be at enmity with God, they're going to miss out on God's love. When the world wants to be at one with God, they're going to have to come by way of Jesus Christ, be made one with the Lord and with us, and experience the love of God. Let me just say this. If you are at odds with another Christian, if you are at odds in Christianity with some people in your church, I need to emphasize to you, you are out of the will of God. Now, doctrinal, I understand. We've already explained that, but I'm just saying, for the most part, most of this stuff is nitpicky. You get back in answer to Jesus Christ's prayer and get at one with those that love God and are under the authority of His Word, and together take a stand so this whole world will know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus was sent by God Almighty to save the people in this world that would trust Him. Please, let's be busy about doing that.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.